Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, folks, and Merry Christmas. I don't know what day this will be going out, but I hope you're having a very jolly time at the merriest time of the year. And I thought to cap off a year where many people have been frustrated and annoyed at me for being critical of many of Trump's decisions in his second term as president, I thought I'd cap it all off by being, again, very critical of Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump, you know, he's a guy, he says he's a Christian. He says that he believes in Judeo-Christian values, whatever those are. And he decided to get the holiday season started early by giving the ex-president of Honduras a very welcome surprise present. And that is a pardon from the 45-year prison sentence that he had been given by a federal U.S. court. And let's introduce you to this story, because this is one that kind of may have flown under the radar for a lot of people. I don't think at the time, at the beginning of December when this happened, we actually covered it. So it needs a little bit of context for anybody unaware. And let me introduce you on that to the former president, Juan Orlando Hernandez, once touted as the by the U.S. authorities as a key ally in the war on drugs, because, of course, many of those Central American states are hotbeds for drug activities and trafficking from drug countries to the U.S. They're often used to ferry these drugs from one place to another so that they can get to your local neighborhood, or if it's cocaine or crack and things like that, most likely the ghetto as well. But federal prosecutors changed their tune and said that the political leader ran his Central American nation as a narco state, collecting millions of dollars from violent cartels to fuel his rise to power. So that is quite a switch over from one to the other. So this guy was supposedly helping U.S. authorities in preventing drugs from coming to the U.S., but upon further investigation, it seems that he was actually at the head, or certainly a massive middleman involved in one of these operations. And the question becomes, why the sudden change? What was there something to do with perhaps he wasn't useful to these people anymore? Was this a stitch-up? Was this just something that was put forward? Because we can see that this article came in 2024. Was this a case of the Biden administration unfairly prosecuting one of Trump's key Central American allies while Biden was still in office as one last-ditch attempt to get one over on Trump? Well, let's find out. So, 2 years prior to this article, in February of 2022, he was arrested and extradited to the US and went on trial in Manhattan on drug trafficking and weapons charges, because they're not going to try, they decided not to try him in Honduras because, frankly, the country was considered too corrupt to allow for an ex-president to be tried there. Hernandez, it says here in the article, you know, is being tried in the U.S. rather than his native country, underscores Honduras's institutional weakness. For Hondurans, it signifies how weak our democracy is in terms of the separation of powers. Politicians are not subject to any control, according to a Honduran political analyst and former three-term congressman, Raul Pineda Alvarado, who was actually in Congress for Hernandez's National Party, which is considered a center-right or right-wing party, a key ally for the Trump administration at the time, and currently a party that Trump right now wants to support again as elections are coming up, so that they can have that key ally back in position during Trump's second term. The millions of dollars in drug money that began flowing to Hernandez started around 2004, so over 20 years ago now, in turn powered his rise from a congressman representing his rural home province in Western Honduras to president of the National Congress, and then two consecutive presidential terms from 2014 to 2022. And that's according to the prosecutors. They're saying the whole thing was the result of drug money being funneled to him. In exchange for bribes that propped up his political aspirations, US prosecutors say drug traffickers were allowed to operate in the country with near impunity, receiving information to evade authorities and even law enforcement escorts for their shipments. And that's a big part of this story as well. The Honduras National Police Force was supposedly involved in these drug trafficking operations, something that the actual former police chief of the National Police Force has gone to prison for. His name, or his denominator, El Tigre, I think he's been given a life sentence. It's, wow. It's all pretty crazy so far. I've not actually given you a chance to speak thus far.
No. I mean, I'm just...
taking in the information.
Taking it in, actually. But it's sort of the pattern that you see in Latin America. The U.S. allied with the right-wing gangsters in Colombia against the left-wing gangsters. At some point, they were helping Escobar launder money, and then they targeted him. In Mexico, you see the presidency is completely in the pocket of the drug cartels. So it seems that there is just too much money going around as a result of the drug business, and there's not enough politicians who are willing to do the right thing.
It was under this guy's watch that the notorious El Chapo was extradited and charged, convicted for all of his involvement in the drugs trade and running a large section of the drugs trade as a narco gangster type. And it seems that a lot of that was cooperation with the US to hand in certain drugs people involved in the drugs trade whilst at the same time protecting the people who had been giving him backhanders for years. So how much money did he get? So supposedly he solicited $1.6 million from a drug trafficker to support his run and those of other politicians in his conservative political party. His brother also received a $1 million campaign donation from notorious Sinaloa boss Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. So it seems that he sold him down the river eventually after that, on the promise that the cartel's drug shipments would find safe passage through Honduras if Hernandez was elected. Federal prosecutors spent years working their way up through Honduran drug trafficking organizations before reaching the person many believe was at the very pinnacle, that being the ex-president. He was arrested at his home in February 2022, extradited. The U.S. attorney at the time, General Merrick Garland, said that Hernandez abused his position to as president to operate the country as a narco state. Now, of course...
Sorry to interrupt, but just briefly on this. $1.6 million is chump change for these guys.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's a lot more, but they're going with what they can prove was handed over.
Even then, that suggests that, you know, he wasn't actually a decision maker, because the amount of money that's in the drug business is in the tens of billions of dollars. And for any of these cartels, each of these cartels is probably, what, $3, $5 billion every year of turnover?
I mean, a lot of these cartels actively, de facto run these countries anyway.
So Sinaloa is one of the biggest of these cartels and one of the most powerful. So I would be shocked if they were making less than $10, $20 billion a year. And so $1 million to a president for a campaign... that's chump change. Either there's a lot more that's suspected that they haven't been able to prove, or this guy isn't some kingpin. He's just like every other politician who figured out that the only way that he can stay alive is to make a deal with the cartels. And then for reasons unknown, he was sacrificed at the end of his term. So there is this dimension to it that's, you know, when you look at the amounts of money, this is nothing. It's the same that they're doing with Zelensky in Ukraine. They've accused one of his guys of having siphoned off maybe $100 million or something like that out of tens of billions of dollars that have gone to Ukraine. At least a third, I would argue probably 60%, disappeared into corruption. So they are choosing their targets politically. And what you're seeing here is sort of the tip of the iceberg of the money flow
Oh, yeah. I would imagine as well, I do agree with you that this guy does not seem to be the kingpin. He does not seem to be the decision maker at the head of this operation. He is some guy who wanted power. Yep. Or wanted his slice of power, knew how he was able to get that. You have to cooperate with these cartels if you want to be able to get near to that, unless you're going to try and do an El Salvador and yes. try and use power responsibly to shut the whole thing down. This guy clearly didn't. So he took the money where he could get it. And in likelihood as well, there's probably other money that they've just not been able to prove. But I would imagine a lot of it also came in kind because there were other reports that his assets had been seized from his house. Right. He had lots of cars and lots of other very expensive merchandise. So a lot of it might have just been like, oh, Mr. Hernandez, look at this lovely Ferrari.
We found this new car.
Yeah, this lovely Ferrari has just shown up on your drive. Isn't that yes. so nice for you? Yeah, so I imagine a lot of it's like that because you are right. Even when I was reading through this, I thought, like, for the amount of money that's going to be flowing through, $1.5 million or $1.6 million for this guy, $1 million for his brother, to risk the kind of life sentences that have been handed out as a result of all of this, that's not that much.
Yep.
That's not that much. But of course, Hernandez said that he was innocent. He maintains his innocence. He said the allegations are revenge from drug traffickers that he had extradited to the US. The US also say that, I mean, there was collaboration there, but this was mainly the result of US investigations. It's not like he was the one who decided to launch independent Honduran investigations into it. It sounds like some of these guys were just coming to the end of their sell-by date.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it was like it was better for him to help hand them in. And it probably worked better for some of the people he was collaborating with than it was for him to try and stand by them. Hernandez faced federal charges, including drug trafficking, blah, blah, blah. So if we go back to some of the reports from before he was arrested as well, we can get a little bit more context here. So this was court documents that were filed before they were able to have him extradited. And this is back in 2021. There was a close working relationship between a man called Giovanni Fuentes Ramirez, and the court documents were talking about a close working relationship between this Fuentes and Hernandez. It alleged that Hernandez accepted bribes while running for the presidency in 2013, in exchange offered military support and the use of the country's armed forces as security for drug running operations. Quote, in approximately 2013 and 14, CC4, that being Hernandez, promised to protect Fuentes from arrest and extradition, promised to help the defendant transport cocaine with the assistance of Honduras' armed forces, said he wanted to use the defendant's laboratory because of its proximity to a key shipping port, directed the defendant to work with Tony Hernandez, his brother, with respect to drug trafficking activities, and stated that he was going to, quote, shove the drugs right up the noses of the gringos. End quote. So, a key ally for the Trump administration during the first term right here. And I'm not alleging in saying that Trump was aware that this particular activity was going on at the time. I'm just saying that this guy was clearly two-faced, taking these people for a ride. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors write the allegations of corruption illustrate a broader criminal plan of the defendant and others to use drug trafficking to help assert power and control in Honduras. According to the document, a witness also heard Hernandez allegedly admit to embezzling United States aid through NGOs and stealing from Honduras's Social Security Fund. This is just classic corruption right here. Obviously, if you're going to be corrupt in a Central or South American country, obviously you've just got to take US aid and misuse it. Obviously, you've got to take slush funds from Social Security money. That's just like part and parcel of the job, really. That's one of the first things that you have to do in the first week of becoming president.
Fundamentally, these political systems are not suited to these people. Like having elections and democracy in a part of the world like Latin America, with all of the poverty, all of the inequality, all of the different identity groups, et cetera, et cetera, it's going to become, obviously, a process of purchasing votes. And who can help you the most effectively with buying votes? Well, criminal gangs, because they terrify the neighborhoods that they're in, they terrify the areas that they operate in, and they have big slush funds. So you end up with the criminals having the ability to put people into the political system because it's run as a democracy. So these institutions aren't suitable for countries that are like that. What's happened to all of Latin America is that they've tried to be American and to mimic the United States, when culturally, geographically, civilizationally, it doesn't suit them. The history of Europe is the history of monarchy all through. You had some exceptions like the Venetian Republic, but even then, you know, it was an oligarchy in charge. So having this kind of system operating in this kind of country is insane. It's like putting democracy in Iraq. It just doesn't work. This was a bad idea to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, even within Western countries, like you're saying, there's questions on whether democracy can ever escape the massive charges of corruption and oligarchy that end up coming part and parcel with it, but especially for these people. And that's what it is. The political system needs to be suited to the people.
Exactly.
And these are people, obviously, Central and South America have a massive variety of different ethnicities within it. We say Hispanic, but that's such a massive umbrella term. But you can get white Hispanics who are very clearly descended mainly from Portuguese and Spanish, settlers and colonists and such. But a lot of these people are still the pretty much direct descendants of those who 600 years ago were still performing massive blood ritual sacrifices.
Exactly.
And that's where you get this kind of cartel mentality. You think to yourself, how can these people be so brutal?
Yes.
When you see the cartel videos? Well, it's because this is actually pretty normal behavior for them going back centuries.
Yes.
They adapted a version of Catholicism, which ends up having a kind of Saint Lady of Death in it. So they adapted adopted all of these practices and adapted them to fit their already well-established cultural norms.
Exactly.
And so you can't just fit an American-style Republican democracy over these.
It needs a paternalistic, monarchic system with a responsible aristocracy. It can't work under a democracy. That's the point.
And this is what we see happening. And then you can go to the government website from 2024 after his conviction that confirmed he was sentenced to 45 years, that gives again some more context in this, particularly regarding the police's involvement. Hernandez and his co-conspirators abused Honduran institutions, including the Honduran National Police and Honduran military, to protect and grow their conspiracy. Among other things, members of the conspiracy used heavily armed Honduran National Police officers to protect their cocaine loads as they transited through Honduras towards the United States for eventual distribution. Members of the conspiracy also turned to violence and murder to protect and grow their drug trafficking enterprise, attacking and murdering rival traffickers and those who threatened their grip on the Honduran cocaine trade. And this means that over the course of his time in office, more than 400 tons of cocaine were siphoned over to the US at the time. And again, a lot of this is taken from witness statements. In October of 2019, it says here, Tony Hernandez, the ex-president's brother, was convicted after trial in October 2019 and sentenced to life in prison. So that's his brother. And that's where a lot of this evidence seems to come from. In the course of that trial,
yes,
a lot of the witnesses who were coming forward also said, well, actually, it wasn't just Tony, it was his brother as well. The president of Honduras at the time was still involved in all of this sort of stuff. And that really got this investigation going. And as well as that, you've got the conviction of his brother for life in prison. That's pretty damning that he was also a politician, alleged and confirmed in trial to be accepting these bribes, involved in all of this. That's going to be difficult enough to be able to say that you had no idea. Oh, I just had no idea that my brother was involved in all of this. But then at the same time, obviously, you've got the police involvement here. In 2021, Juan Carlos Bonilla Valadares, also known as El Tigre, the former chief of the Honduran National Police, pleaded guilty to his participation in the cocaine importation conspiracy and was scheduled to be sentenced on August 1st. I think after this, he was sentenced also to potentially life in prison as well. So you've got his brother, and then you've got the head of the police, who are alleged to have been giving armed transport protection to these people as they were trafficking cocaine. Both of these people go down for life. One of them, including the police officer, pleads guilty to it. As the president of this country, it becomes increasingly difficult to say that you had no idea that any of this was going on, when at the same time the people coming forward in those trials are saying, well, no, this all goes back to the president as well.
Yes.
That becomes very difficult. And then I decided, Are there any of these articles that talk about what was actually used in evidence to convict Hernandez in 2024? Well, in the BBC article here, they mentioned that he had tried to get a motion for a retrial because his lawyers argued that the trial was tainted by incorrect testimony from a law enforcement agent who said cocaine trafficking went up in Honduras during the ex-president's time in office. Well, whether it went up or down, if he's still involved in this huge conspiracy, doesn't matter, which is what the judge said. U.S. District Judge Kevin Castle found the error immaterial to the charge of conspiring with drug traffickers. Hernandez's conviction was based on testimony over the course of a three-week trial of numerous witnesses whose testimony was corroborated in part by phone records and a recovered drug ledger. So there was the witness testimony, and there was also documentation to back all of this up as well as all of the extra money that he probably would have been shown to have had, and the seized assets, where you have to ask yourself, as the president, how could you afford all of these nice fancy cars and other merchandise? But after all of this, it seems pretty open and shut, right?
Yes.
Like, how can you say, obviously this kind of thing is very common in South and Central America. This is what we kind of expect, unless the US were to go to absolute war with the cartels, or unless they were to go out of their way to support people like Bukele in El Salvador, who is going to go to war on their behalf with these drugs traffickers, with these murderers, with these huge narco gangs. Unless they're going to do that, you expect this. But Donald Trump decided, you know what? It's coming up to the Christmas season. I'm feeling merry. This box has stopped working all of a sudden. He decided, you know, let's throw out a pardon.
That's very kind.
Very strange behavior, given that Donald Trump has said ever since 2015 that he wanted to go to war with these people, that he was going to go to war with the cartels, going to build a wall so that we can keep these people out because they're bringing murderers and rapists and drug dealers and thieves and such. And one of these guys who was probably not the head, like you say, I mean, the cartels would be the head of it, but certainly heavily involved in facilitating all of this. You know what? I'm feeling charitable.
A very modern take on Christian charity, isn't it?
It certainly is. I don't remember anything about forgiving drug dealers in the Bible. But it says here that he announced the pardon on 28th of November in a Truth Social post, of course he did, writing that according to many people that I greatly respect, Hernandez had been unfairly treated by prosecutors.
Really?
That's a strong case to try and make.
Yes.
At the White House briefing on the 1st of December, Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt, who is probably, you know, well up to date with everything to do with this case, argued that charges against Hernandez were tainted by a corrupt, quote, over-prosecution under President Biden. What the hell is an over-prosecution? What does that mean? The people around him got life in prison and he only got 45 years. So if anything, it sounds like comparatively, especially given that he was the president, that he got lighter treatment. Interesting. Asked if the pardon undermined the US's presidential campaign against narco-terrorists on the American continent, Leavitt said the aim was to correct the wrongs of the Justice Department under Biden. So the argument that has been put forward here is that this was some kind of, because of the fact that this guy was the head of a Trump-aligned right-wing party in Honduras, that this was some kind of payback.
Yes.
Payback by the Biden administration to punish Trump's allies from his first term. This is despite the fact that a lot of the evidence that came out that started the State Department's investigations into this guy were kicked off in 2019 under the first administration by the State Department when they were prosecuting
State
his
Department
brother.
Or Justice Department?
Oh, sorry, Justice Department, yeah.
Right. I mean, look, when they get the ledgers and the accounts, usually this stuff is pretty definitive. I wouldn't put it past the Biden people to prosecute somebody unfairly, but the chief of police confessed and pleaded guilty. And that's about as bad as it gets, really. And so clearly this guy was involved. The question is, does Trump think that he can use people like that as puppets so long as they pinky promise never to deal drugs again? I don't believe that's a realistic proposition to begin with. So I don't understand what's happening. I want to give the guy the benefit of a doubt, But I just,
it smacks of the same kind of thing that we saw earlier on this year, where despite the fact that Epstein was originally charged in Trump's first term, and all of the issues that were with the Epstein case, like him taking himself out in prison and such, were done under Trump's first term, that earlier on this year with the Epstein files, that Trump was trying to say the whole thing was a Democrat conspiracy.
Yep.
That was the line for about a month or two. It smacks that Trump will go with his gut on these things and hand out favors to people that he's amenable to.
Yes.
Or try and hide things that he doesn't want from the public. And the first line that he will always go to is that this was a Democrat conspiracy. This was Biden admin going overzealous on something.
Yep.
That's the first line, because he's hoping the MAGA base is going to just swallow it. Because they're already... Because during the Biden administration, they were kind of... not programmed, but they were prepared to accept that everything was Biden's fault, which is fair when he's the one who's in office making all of these bad decisions.
I mean, even on that point, Trump never managed to gain control of the institutions. And we saw it yesterday, I believe, with the resignation of Dan Bongino, deputy head of the FBI, that, you know, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino could not control the FBI. He appointed his people and they still couldn't control the institutions. So to be fair to Trump, this is a possibility. But when the chief of police pleads guilty and they find your ledgers and all of that stuff, it's a bit more conclusive.
If your brother is guilty, if the police of chief pleads guilty and they find ledgers and other corroborating evidence, and you seem to have a lot of extra merchandise at your home that you really shouldn't have been able to afford, questions are asked, and the most obvious answer is normally the right one in a situation like this. Interestingly enough, the outlet that was reporting this originally, Axios, reported that Roger Stone, the lobbyist and longtime Trump advisor, had told the US president that a pardon for Hernandez would energize the National Party ahead of the Honduran election. So it seems to be advisors around Trump as well, like Roger Stone, whispering in his ear, saying this would be a great idea if during our second term we can get this party back into power, or we can help them get back into power through this pardon, kind of wiping the slate clean of these corruption charges against them, then that will allow us to have a key ally in Central America. So there are potentially broader geopolitical aims and goals being pursued here as well. But still, domestically, which is where Trump really should be focusing a lot of his attention on, because the base has lost a lot of energy, because the midterms next year are looking quite shaky. Mm-hmm. This is a bad look.
Yes.
This is absolutely a very bad look. And the funny thing, just to end this off, is that immediately after this, Honduras have decided they're going to try and arrest him again anyway. I know they're not a particularly incorrupt country, obviously, and this probably is political reprisals given the opposing left-wing party is currently in power in Honduras. But it would kind of be funny if they just like released him just so he could walk straight out of one jail cell and into the next one over in Honduras. Although if they are actually going to try and arrest him, I would imagine he's probably just going to try and get out of get as far away from the country as possible. But that's that one. I think it's a very strange tactic around Christmas for Trump to start pardoning massively corrupt heads of narco states. But you know what? Tis the season.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.